Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor, Episode 3. Today we are following up last week's episode on sugar, talking about what happens when disease strikes. Can seeing a picture of food cause you to eat more? Calcium supplements and the heart? And lastly, have you ever met a paleoplastic surgeon? Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor, Episode 3. I am Roger here with Colin. What's going on, man?
Not a lot. How you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good. I hope y'all enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. How about you?
Good time. Went home to Pittsburgh, City of Champions, where my parents are still living.
City of Champions.
Sorry, Philly. It was good. It was my brother was celebrating his wedding. He was recently married in Mexico, and we were down there, so now we brought it up to the States to do the U.S. celebration. It was a awesome time, 90-some degrees out, and just worked out outside.
Perfect pool weather.
Perfect pool weather. Fasted for 18 hours on Friday, got up, did a workout in the 95-degree heat.
I hear you nearly died.
Perhaps, or I got my autophagy going, I don't know. It was great. You know, I just love working out outside. It was great to work out with my brother. Worked out with him for the last however many years of my life. His wife was there front squatting 135. So
nice.
Just a great time. How about you?
But didn't you almost crash? I heard something about a crash and burn.
But there's a little bit of a crash and burn, but I'll keep that under wraps. No, there was, I just sweating a lot.
Yep.
Drinking water, but got no salt in. You know, just, I talk about this a lot on my posts. If you're doing low carb, you got to get salt in. We're meant to eat a lot of salt. We ate a lot of salt in the past. We talked about this at length at Ancestral Health.
Yep.
You know, it always raises eyebrows. Oh my gosh, salt. I'm going to have high blood pressure and a heart attack. Not if you're low carb. If you're low carb, you need salt. Don't be shy. Luckily, it tastes good. There we go. There's a take home point. We weren't even supposed to have a take home point yet.
Take home points already.
We got another one in there. What's going on with you?
And if you guys are wondering out there, guys and gals, you know, what we're looking like recording this, Colin's recording with a huge cup of bouillon.
Yes.
Just get that salt going.
Gotta get it going. It's delicious. It spurs my appetite. Just never, when I crash, it just picks me right up.
Nice. I like that. Great Memorial Day weekend, all about spring cleaning. The most exciting guy on the planet. Marissa and I tried a new recipe this weekend. So grass-fed cow share, I think I've blabbed on enough about that, but we're really enjoying it. And we threw some rump roast, huge rump roast, in a crock pot. And we had just gotten a crock pot. I honestly never in my life tried a crock pot recipe. And here we were throwing it in. We used a Civilized Caveman recipe. Give him a shout out. Good guy. Met him briefly at Paleo FX. So, in the show links, I'm going to throw up this recipe. Basically, it's just a rump roast, beef stock, onions. We threw some carrots in there and then a whole bunch of spices, threw it in there for 10 hours at low heat and it came out falling apart and it was nice. Pretty awesome.
Awesome. I'm going to try.
And so I have kind of a shameless plug today. Relentless Fitness, which is my gym, we are up for Best of Philly, which we couldn't be happier about. And it's been 2.5 years of a labor of love and it seems like quite the coming of age. So we're really making a push for this thing. And the funny story is I was looking at our competition and our number one competition is the Life Method. And I didn't really know too much about them. So I logged onto their site and I saw that they have a retail line of products and food, and the food is mostly vegan. So this is a this is a backyard brawl, paleo and mostly vegan studio. So the shameless plug is, hey paleo community, if you could give Relentless a little bit of a boost, I'm gonna put in the show notes again a voting link.
Yeah, put it in there. You guys deserve it. Regardless from the vegan paleo battle, you guys, just an awesome gym. If you haven't checked it out, check out the gym. Check out the voting. It's just a great place to work out.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't mean to, this isn't an anti-vegan rant. This is more of a pro-paleo rant than anything.
I had my anti-vegetarian rant last week.
This is true. All right. So I'm entitled to one.
You're entitled to one.
All right. Fair enough. So hey, Colin, I have a question for you. last week we talked a lot about sugar, and we mentioned Dr. Robert Lustig and his 60 Minute segment. If you haven't checked it out, you can find it on last week's show notes. And, you know, we know sugar's bad, right? And the title of the presentation was, is sugar toxic? And I got a question this week. Well, I always knew sugar was bad, and thank you guys for bringing that up, but I don't know that we really got too much into exactly what makes sugar toxic. In other words, when it enters the body, when you eat it, what's going on internally to really make this stuff poisonous?
So, you know, I could go on and on for this about this for hours. I could really geek it out here. And we could do that in the future. So if you guys want us to do that, send us a send an email, comment, etc.
Give us some cliff notes for now.
Yeah, just briefly and try to make it as common sense as possible. Yeah, I know it's not common sense, but when you eat sugar, or frankly, pretty much any carbohydrates, that's absorbed, they get into your blood, they raise your blood sugar. If your blood sugar is too high, it is toxic. It can be acutely toxic. If you have diabetes, which is a lack of insulin, insulin's a hormone that lowers your blood sugar, and your blood sugar gets too high, it can be acutely fatal. This is a big deal in the hospital. So you eat this sugar, get your blood sugar up, your body releases insulin, which is kind of it's a vital hormone, but it is a save me type of hormone, and it lowers your blood sugar level back down. There's a title of an article, I will link it. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it's something like, is sugar even necessary? And this was published in a peer-reviewed journal, and it's a author that kind of discusses all these studies and how our body processes sugar. So there's some people that say, is it even necessary? That combined with the data that can be acutely toxic to us and kill us.
Okay.
You know, that alone is what leads people to say, ask the question, is sugar toxic? You know, the next step, and I won't get into this too much. I don't want to bore you all. But, you know, I discussed I think it was last week with triglycerides. So when your body's overloaded with sugar, it doesn't know what to do with it.
Okay.
You package it into triglycerides in the liver, and then you send it out for the cells to use. And that's a kind of less toxic version, but triglycerides are still heavily, heavily associated with cancer recurrence, clogged arteries, heart attacks, etc. So that's not much better. So really, you know, sugar's toxic. It's byproducts as well. Triglycerides are, you know, toxic to a degree as well. So, you know, really, that's why you want to cut it off from the source.
So sugar enters the body, right? Insulin spikes up. So sugar enters the body, hits the blood, elevates blood sugar, right? Insulin's released to get the blood sugar down.
Pulls it out of your blood, puts it into your cells, puts it in the liver. You know, you definitely burn some, your brain burns some. If you're working out, you're going to burn a lot more.
Yep.
If you're having a bagel for breakfast, you're not going to burn it.
Yep.
You know exactly where it's going.
So how about when someone becomes diabetic? So talk a little bit about the progression. All right, you and I, relatively healthy individuals, we're snacking on sugar, right? But all of a sudden, we start to fall out of shape. Maybe we put on some pounds. We continuously keep undergoing this cycle where we ingest something, insulin elevates, right?
So
go on with that.
Basically, what happens, we'll just go through the history of a type 2 diabetic. You know, someone's constantly eating high carbohydrate foods. You get a spike in your blood sugar. That's the first step. Next step, once again, insulin is secreted, lowers the blood sugar. What usually happens is your blood sugar dips a lot, especially if you eat a huge load of huge bolus of carbohydrates.
Okay.
Your blood sugar dips. So think about when you eat the bowl of ice cream, you feel great. Half hour later, your blood sugar dips and you're hungry again. So you need more, your body tries to keep your blood sugar at a certain level, which is why you secrete insulin. If it gets too high, it could be toxic. If it gets too low, it could be toxic. So when it gets too low, you're hungry again. You get out there, you eat more. After years and years of this, you're constantly secreting insulin. Those receptors in your cells, they don't become quite so sensitive to it anymore. They stop working, basically. So then in a type 2 diabetic, you have to secrete huge amounts of insulin to get that burden of carbohydrates out of your blood. Because once again, your body does not want a lot of sugar, in your blood. It's fatal. So after this cycle goes on and on, sooner or later, you just stop making the insulin. At that point, that's what a type 1 diabetic is. No insulin at all, so you have to inject insulin. And this is why a lot of times in the emergency room, these diabetics come in with very low sugar.
Right.
Because if you have too much insulin, it's just a really finite balance. It's a tough balance. It's tough for physicians. And I mean, we know there's, for type 2 diabetics, we know there's a cure. This has been shown in randomized level one evidence, phase 3 randomized studies where low carbohydrate diets cure type 2 diabetes. And it makes sense because if you don't have the insulin there to get if you don't have the sugar to be toxic, you don't need to pump out a lot of insulin.
Yep.
So that's kind of the progression. Did I answer your question without getting too geeked out?
No, definitely. So it becomes a nasty cycle, right?
Exactly.
It becomes a nasty cycle and your body's mechanism for breaking down, for lowering blood sugar starts to break.
Exactly.
Right? Awesome. All right. How about some current events? Wait.
Current?
Not yet. We're not going into current events
yet. Where are we going?
We're going straight back to you. We're going to listen to you talk a lot right now. All right. So you have a piece to follow up sugar.
I do have a piece.
Sugar disease, right? They go hand in hand.
So I've, since the last week's post on this, and just in general, I've received a lot of emails, a lot of comments about paleo diet makes sense. Caveman diet makes sense. The whole theory, eating the foods that we were programmed to eat, eating the foods that we have eaten for, 2.5 million years makes sense. And those foods are low carb. They are high fat. And they're, moderate to maybe some people, their opinion, moderate to high protein. A lot of people agree with this. However, the question is, once disease strikes, what do you do? And, the easy answer is you do the same thing. We're meant to eat these foods. Our bodies are programmed to eat these foods. Disease generally happens when we don't follow kind of eating these foods. And there's also genetics and a lot of other stuff involved, obviously. But the easy question is that. And I received an email from a reader. A family member had this thing called Wegener's granulomatosis. It's another autoimmune disease. Autoimmune disease is when your body starts fighting itself.
Yep.
And there's these autoimmune diseases that always stick out in paleo, like gluten issues or celiac disease. And these are diseases where we know, it's very well documented, that if you eat gluten, your body starts to attack the gluten, and your body doesn't know when to turn that attack off. It starts attacking itself. You remove the gluten, it goes away. Similarly, this has been shown in children with hyperactivity, with psychiatric issues, that you remove gluten, even though maybe they're not a celiac patient, but it still helps. So the real question is, with all these other diseases like Wegener's and these more random diseases that you never hear about, the same thing's probably going on. We don't have the enemy. And I think you would agree with me that we know the enemy is part of a group, and the group is these new foods that we haven't eaten.
Definitely. The sugars, right?
Sugars,
to pull that right back.
Grains,
processed oils.
Exactly. Bingo. Processed oils, these oxidated oils that we're ingesting. So we know in some of these basic ones, and now other people are opening the doors, like Dr. Terry Walls. Google Terry Walls, TED lecture. We'll put it on the link as well.
Sounds good.
She had MS, multiple sclerosis, uncurable disease. Same thing, autoimmune disease. You start actually attacking your nerves.
Yep.
And she tried every medicine in the book. She saw the best people. She eventually ended up in a paleo diet, and she pretty much cured herself.
It's amazing.
And yeah, we don't, there's not a great marker. There's not, this food does it. It's not gluten does it, like in celiac disease or other diseases. But she just kind of got rid of the entire group.
Yep.
And so, it's not a stretch to extrapolate this and think you could do the same with other diseases, whether it's Wegener's granulomatosis or whether it's some of these other autoimmune diseases. Or frankly, the biggest one, cancer. People get scared. Once you have cancer, it's as though all bets are off.
Yep.
And obviously, I'm more sensitive in this field because this is what I do. But, it's not too unrealistic to think this is a diet we should do all the time.
Yep.
When we get diagnosed with cancer, it's unfortunate, but why would we not continue that diet?
It's almost like you should redouble your efforts.
Exactly.
Right? If you're living 80-20 and you do contract something like that, maybe it's time to live 90-10 or better.
Exactly. Maybe it's time to double down. And I get the most emails about this, and I love them. Keep them coming. I get a lot of questions, mostly recently about breast cancer. I have a friend or a family member, this, that, and the next, got diagnosed with breast cancer. Should they cut the diet off? And the next question is, what do you do? You're going to start eating sugar? We know cancer cells run on sugar.
Yep.
We've known this conclusively for 50 some years. And this is my next pseudo current event. I'm going to lead right into it. And this is definitely geeked out. And I'm sorry.
Real quick, before you go into that, just a little bit of a point here. You mentioned the cancer patient population as an area where, some people say, okay, paleo is great. I understand paleo. But now, you have cancer? Well, like you said, all bets are off, right? Well, now maybe you shouldn't eat paleo. You see that with a lot of different populations out there, right? Another one that comes to mind, just because it's in my face every day, our studio's half kids. Mm-hmm. We have a kids program. That's another one.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, well, he or she is just a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Let him eat 2 bowls of ice cream.
It's yeah, they're, cool. They're growing. They need
right.
the energy.
No, right.
They
it's,
need
it's
protein
like,
and
it's
fat.
It's like they're an entirely different population that, yeah. Doesn't meet the same criteria.
Yeah.
It seems sometimes silly to me.
Common sense. Well, I mean, we always say, think of things like a caveman. Well, it doesn't make sense. If it's healthy at this age, why would it not be healthy when you're younger? Maybe you need to eat more because you're growing more. Your cells are proliferating more.
Yep.
Dr. Westman, actually that same podcast we quoted last week, he had a great line in there about kids and how his kids are on this diet, this lifestyle, excuse me. And how he was at a talk from someone else who was discussing that too. And at the end, he said, you know, my kids are 20, and he put a picture of them skiing. And he's like, believe it or not, on this diet, they're still able to ski and they're functioning well. And he like kind of made a joke out of it because why would you expect them not to be healthy? This is what our body's made to function
yep.
on.
Yep.
And I mean, the sugar, we have obesity in kids now.
Absolutely. And I know I'm not obese and I consider myself relatively fit, but I also know I have a nasty sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. And I look back and, you know, I grew up on TV dinners and, yep. and crap and a lot of junk food. And it'd be silly to think that that didn't play some role in today, me staring at a plate of chocolate chip cookies and wanting to dive in head first.
Yeah.
It sets you up.
I hear you. I mean, I love your mom, but no one knew. But I definitely had some food when I was younger where, good Lord, the Gatorade, the amount of Gatorade
sure.
I drank. I mean, just give me sugar water. Anyway.
Sorry to cut you off there.
So, this brings me to my final point. Recent study just came out. It's in animals. So I hate to quote an animal study, but there's really not a lot of data in humans with this dieting and cancer because everyone's scared to death of it. And it's understandable, but, they basically they gave mice brain tumors, fatal brain tumors.
It's not very nice.
Not very nice. They put them on a ketogenic diet. So a similar diet to what a lot of our listeners, a lot of my readers go on. This is ketogenic's a little more extreme. It's, for us, it'd be less than 50 grams of carbs a day. And first off, just the mice that were on this diet alone live significantly longer. And then these mice were actually, half of them were given radiation as well. And then put on this diet, half of those were not. Radiation's the standard treatment for these kind of lesions.
Yep.
And a handful of those mice were actually cured. And wow. I know it's mice, but it just shows it makes sense. You cut out sugar, you eat the way we're supposed to eat, and when you actually get cancer and get treated for it, the outcomes are better.
Yep.
And I actually wrote a similar trial for humans, which I hope we can do if I could actually get some funding.
Yeah, man.
These things aren't free apparently. But it's just this is an extension of it, but if this is a diet you should eat when you're healthy, obviously, there's extenuating circumstances, but it's hard. I'm hard pressed to think of why you wouldn't eat this way when you're not healthy.
Yep.
And that's my take. That's my long-winded, geeked-out take-home point. And if you guys have questions about this, send it. I can send you longer emails. I can talk about this all day.
We will have you geek out for even longer.
Sounds good. So that's my first big point. And I know we were talking before, and you mentioned you have kind of a topic where not only eating these modern foods, these sugars, causes all these issues, but even just staring at them.
What about looking at them? So Blog Conditioning Research, I like what they do, referred to an article. It's a little bit of an older article, I believe, but it says ghrelin levels increase after pictures showing food. So ghrelin signals food intake in the body. And a lot of these subjects would see pictures of food and these levels would increase. So the body would be signaling you, hey, eat, eat, eat. So, all this stuff that we see, Food Network shows and Dunkin' Donuts ads and all sorts of wacky stuff is signaling you to eat more, which is crazy. Something that I talked about last week, my last little mental exercise was inputs equal outputs, right? Inputs result mm-hmm. in outputs. So think about what you're inputting. If you are watching tons of these shows and consuming lots of these ads and just being inundated with pictures of yummy looking food, what is that actually doing internally? Isn't it nuts to think that could jack your body up?
Once again, it's that physiologic. It's almost like you can't even help it.
Yep. I had a client who was talking to me the other day, and she didn't act on this urge, but she had seen a Dunkin' Donuts ad, and it was for whatever new, you know, pile of crap they're marketing. But it was a Dunkin' Donuts ad, and she knew she wasn't supposed to have it. She knew she really didn't want it, but she couldn't stop thinking about it. And she had actually walked by a Dunkin' Donuts, and it was like a tractor beam reached out of the Dunkin' Donuts and wanted to bring her in the door. And she told me she really had to, she was perplexed by this situation. She really struggled to pull herself away from it. And again, I think she's beaten herself up about it, but maybe this kind of a study that says, hey, no, seeing that visual, seeing that Dunkin' Donuts ad actually connects to what's going on internally, and that when you walk by a place like Dunkin' Donuts, that tractor beam is a little more real than you might think.
That actually, once again, favors eating the diet you're supposed to eat. I mean, these high fat, higher protein foods are more satiating. So hopefully then you are full. So when you walk by, you know, you can't help it. When you see a donut, you think about it. So hopefully if you're eating the foods that make you full, you can desensitize yourself. And if you do eat one, hopefully it's gluten free.
No doubt about it.
Just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, hey, this is what I always recommend. I feel like a broken record saying it again and again and again. But seriously, if you are hungry, eat. I think there's no, if you have access to it and you are hungry, eat. I don't think there's really any reason, unless you're doing something at a crazy advanced level, there's really no reason to leave yourself hungry and exposed in these kinds of situations. Because yes, if you walk by that Dunkin' Donuts and you are feeling hungry, there is an amazing chance you are actually going to walk in that door and do something that you don't really want to do.
Yep. And afterwards, your insulin's going to spike, your sugar's going to dip.
There you go.
You're going to eat another one and another one and another one.
And it all comes back full circle.
All comes back full circle. Along these lines, the theme, this wasn't one of our planned themes, but the theme seems to be turning to eating the foods we're meant to eat. I guess that could be the theme every week. But something that caught my eye recently, there's an article in the New York Times. It was posted on the 24th of May, a couple days ago. And it was titled, "Taking Calcium May Pose Heart Risks." And we'll post this on the blog notes, or on the podcast notes, excuse me. And basically, the article starts out saying how there's a study that shows the more calcium and mineral levels that you have in your diet, naturally in your diet here, the lower risk you have of hypertension, obesity, type 2 diabetes. And then they go on to say, however, newer studies in people that are taking calcium supplements, so not in your diet, calcium supplements, are having higher levels of heart attacks. And this is, once again, just reiterating that you got to get it in your diet. Yep. I'll put a link. I wrote an article on this on the website. It's like something about eat your vitamins, or I don't know, some sarcastic title.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just can't, we're not going to trick nature here. Whether you have disease, or whether you have a disease, or whether you don't, whether you're totally healthy, you got to eat the foods that we're meant to eat. You got to get your vitamins in those foods. You throw away these even the natural people online or whatnot that are pushing all these vitamins. Like, they're making a buck here. You can get everything you need in your food, except for maybe a handful, like probiotics. I don't know what, fish oil maybe, and then
maybe magnesium.
Maybe magnesium, depend. You know, there's just not really that many.
But it really all depends. You know, even those things, there's a way to get that from food. Just being more aware of what foods you need to eat more of.
Absolutely.
You know, fish oil, you don't really need fish oil so much if you are ingesting wild-caught salmon.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Lots of that. And similarly, magnesium, if you're aware of where your leafy greens are being sourced and it's very dense, the soil, you know, is of sufficient quality, and you don't really need them.
Yeah. And Terry Walls, again, I guess to quote her TED Talk, you know, she figured out what minerals and what vitamins she needed, because she figured, you know, to help her mitochondria, to help her nerve cell. So she found the foods that had them. She tried vitamins. It worked a little bit. It didn't get her there. So she started eating the foods that had them. And that's what tipped her over the edge to cure.
So have you ever taken calcium supplements?
I took calcium in probably around college.
Yeah,
me too. I had a period where I was at GNC.
Yep.
Getting my advice from like the 21-year-old that worked behind the counter.
Same here.
I went through that period. Not even when med school started for me, when you start learning about every mineral, I think everyone, you start, oh, I need more calcium. I need more this. I need more that. I recently heard a cardiologist talking about clogged arteries and how much of those are actually calcium. And that, the majority of clogged stuff in there, whatever you want to call it, the clot is calcium. And he said, how many are you taking calcium supplements? And almost everyone in the room raised their hand. I mean, we don't know what to do with that, but it's just, it's interesting. This is just another example there of just throw out your supplements, get your food the way you need it. We actually, I'm a radiation oncologist and we treat with we kill cancer cells with free radicals. And the big hot topic now is quercetin and these things in turmeric and cumin and these things you get in spices. Well, now you buy them super high dose in pills. Well, quercetin is a antioxidant, so it fights free radicals in low doses. Mm-hmm. But in high doses, it's actually pro-oxidant. It causes more free radicals. So then, if you take a pill, are you taking too much, or you just throw it away and get it in your food and play it safe?
I'm encouraged by this. You know, I like to think that, hey, if you put the effort in and you source quality food and you do spend that extra 10, 20 minutes a day worrying about where your food came from and how you're preparing it, I like to think that is a natural way to get ahead, you know, for your body to get ahead. And it discourages me to see, you know, the supplement industry being, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars and, you know, everything really, you know, certain people out there trying to boil things down to pill form or powder form. And, it encourages me to see these studies coming through that it's not that simple. You know, you can't just boil it down to that magic pill. Like, I know some people who have told me, hey, if I could, I would just take a pill and not worry about eating anything. And, I don't know. That bums me out, man.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we're all at that point, at some point in our lives where we're doing pills left and right. And you think you're being healthy and you're not. Just eat the right foods. Eat the foods we're meant to eat and invest in your local farmer, not your, local pharmacist.
GNC.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Well, I gave them enough. Yeah. I supported them enough.
They made all my grass cutting money in high school.
I just wanted to get huge.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
There was a time in college where I must have been ingesting 3 meals a day via protein powder.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty brutal.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how far you come over the course of a decade.
Yeah. And just, especially back in the day, this really cheap was soy protein. That was the cheapest kind. So in high school, that's all I was eating. It's just pure garbage.
Oh, man.
Pure garbage. All right. What else you got for us here?
All right. Let's bring it up a little bit. Let's go optimist.
All right.
So when you think of the words paleo surgeon, what do you, I'm teasing the article. When you think of the words plastic surgeon, what do you normally think?
Don't need a diet. Don't need to exercise. We'll cut it out.
Right. No, another magic pill type solution. Right. So Kim Mulvihill from CBS San Francisco strikes again, and she brings up the case of a paleoplastic surgeon, Charles Verdon, who is actually encouraging his clients before they get liposuction to consider going on a paleo-based lifestyle and seeing if that will affect the change thereafter, even before they spend the money.
That's pretty amazing.
So that's encouraging. That is a big plus.
Good for him.
Yeah, because I mean, hey, what are you doing? You know, if you get liposuction, it seems all well and good, right? The quick fix. Let me just take this fat out. But is that person most likely going to change their lifestyle 180 after they get it taken out? Probably not, right?
Exactly. I mean, are you actually healthier?
Yeah. So they might look better for a period of time, but if they keep living the way that they were living, guess what? It's coming back.
Yep. If they're still eating their sugar and carbs, their triglycerides are going to be clogging their arteries.
Yep. And I think a lot of people out there want, okay, well, I want to get the plastic surgery first and then I'll improve my lifestyle. It doesn't work that way. It's not that quick of a switch flip, you know?
Yeah.
It's like people come to me as a personal trainer and they say, I want to work out with you, but I need to get in shape first. It doesn't work that way.
Well, I hear, you have someone where you know that they saw pretty instant change over a week or two, and we'll get into that in a second. But you know, that's the other thing, when people need to realize, when they make these big dietary changes, when they cut out the carbs, when they increase their exercise, you know, get their fat and protein levels up, you lose weight fast, you feel good really fast. I mean, two weeks is the magic number. After 2 weeks, people just, the results are amazing.
Yep.
And it makes you wonder, you know, you hear about, oh, we'll get rid of the fat real quick with liposuction. That'll give me the motivation. What if you do it yourself the hard way And in 2 weeks, you start seeing benefits. Can that give you the motivation to kind of continue it?
Yep.
I mean, I hear you have a pretty good story in that regard.
I really do. When we get into this current event section, I got a pretty darn good current event going on right now at Relentless Fitness. And I want to give her a huge shout out today because she deserves it. Her name is Carly Boyd and she's in the transformation program and she's been with it now for 4 weeks, one prep week and then three of the 8 intense weeks. So really 4 weeks down. And before I tell you what she's accomplished, I want to tell you what she's doing. You know, I think a lot of people out there might see these people getting great results and assume, hey, oh, that person must be working out every day. Or that person must be just doing something ridiculous or wacky. All she's done, and that's not to belittle it, she's done phenomenally, but all she's done is 3 workouts a week, really 2 45-minute workouts, and 1 workout that amounts to about a half an hour long. On her off days, she walks. She makes it a point to stay moving for 45-plus minutes. And then she eats paleo. And to her absolute credit, she has stuck with that 100%. Yes. But in 4 weeks' time, she's lost 17.6 pounds. She's lost 4.5 inches off her abdomen. And across 5 caliper sites, that's the fat metric that you pinch the skin off, she's lost 19.5 millimeters across those 5 sites. She looks like a different person. It's one of those cases where you just have to shake your head and wonder. If more people approached it like this, what would our nation look like?
Yeah, and it's not an N equals one. I think we used that in the first week.
Yep.
It's not an N equals one. This happens. You see it again and again and again. And talk about positive reinforcements. She's making the changes herself.
Yep.
She's seeing the results.
Yep.
It's not some surgery. And so she's getting the rewards for it.
And, this is the coolest part of being a personal trainer. Every now and again, I have someone who comes to me and looks me dead in the eye and says, you know, I will do exactly what you tell me to do. I want to be healthy. And I'll never forget, she sat down across the desk from me when we did our opening consult. She looked me dead in the eye and she said, I'll do exactly what you tell me to do. I'm going to be 100% paleo. You know, basically whatever it is, you lay it out. And this is the plan. And she stuck to it. She looks like a different person. She's inspiring the community and she's just a bright light. So, I'll link to her. We have a page up where you can actually check it out yourself. We have visuals. She's publicized her pictures and you can see them right now. So this is not like this transformation went down a month ago and just now we're releasing these weeks as if they're live. This is live. So check it out. It's pretty inspiring. I know it inspires me.
That's great. Yeah, everyone check it out. Just some more positive reinforcement.
Go Carly.
Go Carly. So what else we got on tap?
I think it's time for some takeaways.
Do you want to take it away or should I?
Tangible takeaways, man. Why don't you start with the exercise ball game?
So I'll be brief here. I geeked it up in the early parts of the podcast. So my exercise takeaways. So this weekend, like I said, I went home, fasted 18 hours, got all my dad's weights, put them in a wheelbarrow, threw them in the backyard, worked out with my brother and his wife. You know, the big thing right now is it's warm out. The sun rises early. Just get outside. It's great to work out outside. You can't always do it. I live in a city. It's pretty tough to do. Though I know you orchestrate some workouts in the park every once in a while.
Absolutely, whenever possible.
Yeah, keep me posted on that. But you know, turn your TV off. Turn it off an hour earlier. I would say cancel your cable. I think that's a little extreme for some people, but I don't know. I don't have cable, but maybe I'm revealing too much about my psychotic personal life. But anyway, turn your TV off.
We live without cable for, I want to say, a year and a half.
Nice.
We have it again.
Oh, yeah.
Back
to the dark side.
Back to the dark side is right. I kind of prefer it without.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the only thing I like about cable sports.
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue. When football season comes, it's hard to watch. Well, there's a Steelers bar close by, so.
All right, let's move on.
So anyway, get to bed an hour earlier. Get up an hour earlier. Get out and walk around. Too many people say, I don't have time to walk around. If you work out like I do, it's lifting heavy weights, walking around, maybe sprinting sometimes, and really not a lot in between. No hour and a half jogging. Just get up and walk around. Listen to some music. Listen to a podcast. Our podcast, podcast. I have notes. I'm studying for my physics boards right now, which are just a menace, just ruining my life. And I have them all on MP3. So I just I walk down to the waterway.
There you go.
So I get up, you know, I get up 5:30, get up an hour earlier. Where the locks are, whatever.
Oh, cool. Okay.
By the art museum. And it's not hard. Just go to bed an hour earlier. Get up with the sunrise. You're supposed to anyway. You'll feel a lot better.
Yep.
That's my workout takeaway.
I want to actually add something to that. What I see a lot with walking recommendations is an immediate scoff. It's like, walking.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another intense workout.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always work that way. The body's not always primed up for the fifth intense workout of the week.
Exactly.
It really doesn't always work that way. And I mean, I just want to go back to Carly's case. She really made it a point. She has her very controlled 2.5-3 full workouts a week where she gets after it. But then that's it.
Yep.
Every other day is walking. And I think she'd agree it's made a huge difference.
It's a mental release as well.
Oh, totally.
So there's psychological, physical, a lot of benefits.
Yep.
And you can get some work done.
And you can.
Get a book on tape, whatever you want to do.
Yep. All right. My exercise takeaway is this. Small cycles, big totals. So what I've taken to doing when I have 10, 15 minutes in a day, actually like today. So yesterday was Memorial Day, and I did not have a chance to get a workout in, nor did I want to. Coming into the week, I came in on a jammed up Tuesday. I guess I'm giving away when we're recording this podcast.
Oh, no.
Darn it.
Sorry.
So we are recording today. It is Tuesday, and it's a jammed up day for me. You know, took yesterday off, and you kind of pay the consequences the next day, right? Mm-hmm. Stuff catches up. Tuesday is normally a day when I like to get my workout in, right? Today is no different. I would like to get that workout in. I'm not going to have a lot of time. And so what I've been doing lately when it's time crunch is taking 15, 20 minutes, whatever I have, even if it's 10 minutes, and I identify 3 to 5 exercises that I want to tackle. So today, I'll tell you exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be chin-ups. It's going to be kettlebell front squats. It's going to be push-ups, and it's going to be ab wheels. Very simple, very straightforward. And I'm going to take them, and I'm going to break them into super small cycles. So I'm going to jump up on the chin-up bar, and I'm going to do 5 strict form chin-ups. Then I'm going to drop down for between 5 and 8 strict front squats, depending on how much weight I'm picking up. Then I'm going to drop down for 8 to 10 push-ups, and then I'm going to pop up for 5 ab wheels, right? That circuit's going to take no more than, you know, 90 seconds, mm-hmm. two minutes tops, right? I'm not going to rest. I'm going to go right back to the beginning, get my chin-ups, get my front squats, get my push-ups, get my ab wheel. I'm going to do that over and over and over again until the time I've allotted has exhausted. So if I only have 15 minutes, I'm going to be going almost continuously for 15 minutes. But by the end, if let's say I can squeeze in, you know, 6, 8, even 10 rounds if I have a long time. Let's say I squeeze in 10 rounds of that. I've now chinned myself up over a bar 50 times. I've now done 100 push-ups. I've now done 50 ab wheels. I've now done between 50 and 80 front squats. That's a solid load for a really short period of time. And if you break it up differently, that might seem a little more daunting.
That's great. Efficient, effective. Yep. Especially for those of you out there that don't have a lot of time, your schedule's busy, everyone has 10 minutes. And these are things, you're doing pull-up bars or whatnot, but these are things people could modify to do in their own home.
No doubt about it. I mean, you insert your cups of tea, you know, the exercises that you personally want to get after. However, I would recommend some sort of compound motion. You don't want to be, you know, doing bicep curls, tricep presses, unless you're focused that way. But if you have, let's say you have 2 or 3 shots to get after it a week, you know, and you're crunching it down to 10 to 20 minutes, you know, choose some good, solid compound motions and go after it.
I like it.
Awesome.
My diet takeaway.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
Quick and easy. Orange peppers. They're back in season. They're there all year, but the good ones are back in season. They're, just wash them off with soap. Get the pesticides off them. Takes maybe 10 seconds. And then just eat them like an apple. They're sweet enough, not
you
too
like
sweet.
You're like Iron Chef, man.
Everyone talks about, I don't have enough time to cook, I don't have enough time for this or that. I mean, these barely take any amount of time. You peel them like an apple. They're fragrant, it's like perfume. I don't know if that's a good thing. Or they smell like perfume, they don't taste.
Scarfing down some perfume.
Some healthy perfume.
I actually prefer a cologne.
And in the words of Rob Lowe from Parks and Rec, they literally take 5 seconds.
Nice.
So, actually, all right, there, I watch Parks and Rec. That's the only TV show. But anyway, quick, easy, delicious. They're great for you. I can't eat enough of them. I keep a bag of them in my fridge.
orange versus red versus green versus yellow. What's the deal?
So everyone thinks the colorful ones are healthier for you as opposed to green, but green actually have a lot of antioxidants. So they each have their own benefits. Oranges taste the best. I mean, they are.
So you're going there for some antioxidant benefit, but also just they taste good. But
yeah, they're full of vitamins. They're all full of vitamins, antioxidants, fiber, and yeah, they're just, I just got to get my ball of perfume in. So what do you got for me?
I've got what is not perfume at all. In fact, it's the opposite. Fermented foods. I'm going down the fermented pathway. And I know, just again, we talked about our progressions over the past decade plus, you know, coming from GNC and ending up here. And I can think back to a time that I would have thought fermented foods disgusting, you know, kind of a word that I wouldn't even ever want to go down. So anyway, what are they? So fermented foods are sauerkraut. Fermented foods are pickles, pickled vegetables. Fermented foods are kombucha, which is fermented tea. And it all goes back to probiotics and healthy guts and, you know, renewing our digestive tracts and absorbing nutrients a lot better than we currently are. And, you know, this has been, I think, buzzing now in the paleo world for a little bit. I think I've read a lot about and I've heard a lot about fermented foods, and I'd always liked pickles and pickled vegetables and that kind of stuff. But I became really interested in trying kombucha, and I have for about 10 days now. I think about 8 or 9 of the days drank just one that I'm pulling off the shelf of Whole Foods. I'm not into it enough right now to be making my own or anything, but I am curious to keep going down this road. I think it's called GTs or something like that. Anyway, I'm pulling it right off the shelf from Whole Foods, and it's pretty tasty.
Nice.
It's not too sweet. A little bit of sweet, but not too sweet, and it's hitting me the right way.
Good stuff. Yeah, if you like spicy, get some kimchi.
Yeah, kimchi too.
Great stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'll link in the show notes. There was a nice article written recently by, Stephanie on robwolf.com, crazy about kombucha. And again, that's what I'm personally focused on. It's a successful experiment thus far. I'm going to at least for another couple weeks go down that road. I just turned Marissa onto it, so hopefully she continues with it as well. And I will let you know, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Great. I like it. I'm going to give me some.
Yeah, man. So we don't have the sound effect yet, but yes, it is time for the Caveman Corner.
Caveman Corner today. It's going to be brief. Once again, I talked my head off in the beginning. You know, the big thing, my theme here with the calcium, even with the initial what happens when disease strikes, is cheesy again. We'll go Caveman Corner's cheesy enough. We'll cheese it up here. But, you know, nature really laid out the foods we're supposed to eat. And when we don't eat them, we get obese, we get all these issues. And when we try to supplement them with a pill form, you know, we get heart attacks from calcium.
Yeah.
Just follow the pathway that's been laid out for us. It's fairly obvious, you know, what we're supposed to eat. The
same
foods, perfume. The same foods we ate for 2.5 million years. We're not smarter than nature. We're not smarter than God. However you want to view it, we can try to supplement it and put it in a pill form, and it just doesn't work. So just give up, give into it. Support your local farmer, not big pharma. Eat the foods we're meant to eat, and enjoy the health. Enjoy the good health you're going to get from it. That's my takeaway here. Brief and sweet and to the point, but
I like it, man.
What do you got for us? What's
Relentless Report?
Do the Relentless Report. Give it to us.
You know what I do? I can't help but talk about it. I like to talk about transformation. I really like when someone makes up their mind that they're going to take their health in their own hands and do something great with it. So I really encourage having the end in mind. So really sitting down with yourself, you know, away from everybody, away from all, you know, away from your phone and all that stuff, and just think about it. Think about where you want to end up. Think about what would make you happy on a daily basis. How do you want to walk around? How, you know, what do you want to give? What kind of energy do you want to give off? And identify the end goal, right? And then rewind the tape to the present day and figure out the first step you can take. That's it. That's all you need. I like to say, have the end in mind, rewind to the beginning, and forget the middle. You really don't need to know what the 17th step looks like. All you need to know is where you want to end up and the first step to go down that road. That's it. Just like I never would have ever tried fermented foods 2 years ago. Guess what? Now, I'm starting to fall in love with him. And that just might be the 36th step on my personal journey to ideal health.
Absolutely. Avoiding that overwhelming thought.
Yes.
Get there in baby steps.
Speaking of cheesing it up, I believe this quote is attributed, or at least where I stumbled across it, was Jack Canfield. And he's the chicken soup for the soul guy. And I have no, I don't have the quote in front of me. I can't quite remember what it is, but I always remember the paraphrase in my own mind because it's really powerful and it stuck with me for a long, long time. Imagine you're driving. We're in Philadelphia right now. We're recording in Philadelphia. Let's say we wanted to take a vacation to San Diego, right? And we're leaving, at night to beat traffic, right? So it's dark out. You fire up the car and you know you're going to San Diego, right? So you know where on the map your goal is to end up. And you leave and you turn on your headlights, right? How far do headlights shine?
100 feet.
100 feet, right? So you can see 100 feet in front of you, right? But you can't see 200 feet in front of you. You can't see 10 miles in front of you. You can't see 100 miles in front of you. All you know is what the first 100 feet look like and what San Diego looks like on a map, right? But you trust it. You fire up the car and you start moving. That's it, man. Just go.
I like it.
Remove the complications and trust in the process.
I'm going to take a flight, but
Right, we're not driving to San Diego.
No, exactly. You know, you keep your eye on the prize to a degree, but you know to get there, you're going to have to do those baby steps and don't get overwhelmed. It's not an overnight thing.
No, it isn't.
I like it.
No, it isn't.
You always just sum things up so nicely.
Hey, man.
It's unbelievable.
I do what I can. I do want to throw a reminder out there to people. We're not making as much traction as I would like. Colin has guaranteed something. Last week, he guaranteed something would happen. We haven't had such a great week.
How many likes do we have?
34. Oh, by the way, so CJ Hunt, we talked about, I had my big mess up where thought we could show In Search of the Perfect Human Diet in studio at CJ Hunt's movie and turned out we couldn't. And so we made it our goal to bring CJ Hunt to Philadelphia to show the movie. Why not us, right? He was in San Francisco. Why not Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love? And we made a Facebook page and it has 34 likes. And I think we need at least triple digits to make this thing happen.
We'll step it up. I'll step it up too. It's 3-day weekend. I was out of town.
No, definitely.
We'll step it up, but pass it on to your friends out there.
Yep. So like it. And then hopefully we can get CJ in town. I think it would be a really amazing event.
I like it. Get out there, eat the food you're supposed to eat. You know, keep your eye on some short-term goals.
Take one step.
Get out there, walk around. It's warm out. No excuse. Get some vitamin D levels up.
And if you need some inspiration, take a look at someone who is doing exactly all of that. Her name's Carly Boyd, and we'll have the link in the show notes. Colin, check him out, cavemandoctor.com. We'll have the show up there, the show notes. Drop him a comment. For me, rogerdickerman.com, same deal. We'll have the show up there. Drop me a comment. Please keep giving us feedback. Keep asking us questions. We will answer them on air. Until next time.
Episode 3.
In the books.